and on top of that, his desire to release 60 films. Whether that is true or not, Jeffrey displayed the strangest deafness one could imagine. Shortly after that meeting, Disney released two live-action films, Angie and The Ref, which did not make any money and received bad reviews. The results only added to Eisner's pessimism. In his many sessions with Tony Schwartz, Eisner complained constantly about Katzenberg. On March 2, 1994, they were discussing Katzenberg's 1991 manifesto, still on Eisner's mind 3 years later. Schwartz's typed notes read, "Jeffrey Katzenberg, I think I hate the little midget. But that, since plagiarized 4 years ago, from that moment decided was genius and loving person, he excluded me." The notes go on to suggest that Katzenberg told Eisner he was embarrassing him at meetings and had agreed to meet with him for a half hour each day, but then talked about things other than product. The growing tension between Eisner and Katzenberg, as well as Roy's antipathy toward Katzenberg, were increasingly evident to the animation and studio staffs. Peter Schneider and Thomas Schumacher began nearly every day with a cell phone conversation about the latest quarrel between Dad and Mom. Relations between the two had gotten to the point where Katzenberg issued orders that no one who reported to him was allowed to initiate a conversation with Eisner. If Eisner happened to call one of them, they were to call Katzenberg immediately and report the substance of the conversation. Katzenberg explained the ban to Schneider by saying that Eisner was meddlesome and crazy. But Eisner had already asked Schneider to report to him on Katzenberg's activities. He often called Schneider to gather intelligence on Katzenberg, which naturally put Schneider in the awkward position of double agent. As Eisner later confided to Irwin Russell, "I call Peter all the time, and although he is a political troublemaker, he did know what was going on." Eisner flew into a rage when Schneider told him that Katzenberg was taking cells and backgrounds from Disney's archives for his own personal collection. When Schneider suggested that this was inappropriate, considering that Disney was planning to auction off some of its collection, Katzenberg had argued that Walt Disney himself had a collection he'd taken from the archives. "But you're not Walt," Schneider said. "I'm the Walt Disney of today," Katzenberg replied. That, at least, was the substance of the conversation that Schneider reported to Eisner, who went wild over the reference to Walt, Schneider recalls. Eisner insisted that Katzenberg reimburse the company for the cells. Katzenberg did. Even more than the taking of the cells, Eisner was incensed that Katzenberg would dare to compare himself to Walt. Eisner promptly reported the incident to Roy, further fueling Roy's antipathy toward Katzenberg. Schneider had lunch every Tuesday in the Rotunda, the executive dining room, with Roy. Given that Roy was such a large shareholder, neither Eisner nor Katzenberg could forbid Schneider from talking to him, but it was clear to Schneider that they resented it. "You're much too political," Eisner warned Schneider at one point. But Schneider, like most Disney executives, felt he had little choice, caught between warring factions in which each piece of information became a test of loyalty. Eisner was also furious that earlier that year, Katzenberg